The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Hello again. Thanks for joining us. This is Paul Orlowski, and the show is God Calling, as you know. Join us every week, we hope. Father Thomas Loya is joining us. Father is the pastor of Annunciation Byzantine Church in Chicago. He's from Cleveland, which is obviously part of the Parma Eparchy. Father, first of all, welcome to God Calling.
Well, thank you. Good to be here.
Father, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Cleveland.
Yeah, right. What parish?
Well, my original parish as a boy was St. Joseph's on the east side. It's now in Brecksville, Ohio. But I spent most of my growing up years at our cathedral parish in Parma.
And how important was that to be at a cathedral? Is there a difference?
Well, yeah, the whole eparchy, it's sort of the center of the eparchy, and
yes.
There was a lot of exposure to a lot of, it was very influential for me, actually, very formative, because I had so much exposure to the church and what was happening in the church at that time, and to so many priests and seminarians, and of course, coming to know the bishop well, you know, it was quite a unique experience and privilege to be part of a cathedral parish. And at that time, you know, we were just becoming a new eparchy, you know, being established. I was there from the beginning. Of course, I grew up even before we had the eparchy center there, and then it became an eparchy. And that whole time was very, very exciting for me. It really helped to contribute to my becoming a priest, because there were just so many fascinating, marvelous things happening in the church at that time. There was a great spirit, and I met so many influential priests, nuns, seminarians during those years. It was really a special time. It was a very dynamic time. The spirit was really moving, and there I was at an influential time of my life. You know, I was a teenager, you know, so that's a very impressionable time. And there was a great influence that being at the cathedral had on me, and that actually helped to inspire me to become a priest. I've referred to those times often, even as a priest now, from some of the things I learned then, some things that were happening. It gave me a great historical perspective too, because what was happening at that time in our church and in our eparchy explains a lot of where we're at now. It's good for people who have come along later, you know, weren't even born then, to understand our church better. I can talk about the great stories and the giants of that time, you know, around
right.
The priests, you know, bishops, you know. So, yeah, it was a marvelous privilege.
Was your family involved in the formation and the building of the cathedral and those types of things, and did that allow you to become part of it?
Oh, yeah. My family, the Loya family, has been involved in the growth and development of our church for generations. My grandfather was a priest. He was a priest at St. Joseph's, in fact,
all right.
And back in the 50s. And then he actually helped to get the other aspects of the Cleveland area developed. See, from the time of the 50s to the 70s, the Cleveland area was developing among our churches. And from the inner city parishes that were original parishes, and then they moved out into like Parm area, then all throughout the Cleveland area. During that time, my grandfather was very influential. My own family was very influential, very involved, and so I saw the whole thing happen. I mean, from when I grew up, table talk in my family was talk about the church and what was happening, you know?
Sure.
The different priests and all the development and new parishes and the high school. I saw the high school going up. We had a Byzantine high school, which is now closed, but we had the high school, in fact. We had, you know, the formation of the eparchy. We had these parishes growing and moving. And then I, when I became a priest, I got involved in building a church myself in Solon, St. John's in Solon, which is still there. Then I was eventually transferred out here to the Chicago area back in 93. But we've always been a part of the development of our church for generations, you know, my family. And that's what I grew up with. I grew up with watching the church develop. I only know positive in our church. I only know development, life, you know, evangelization, creativity. That's been my life experience.
And your great-grandfather, also a priest, I understand?
Yeah, my great-grandfather on my mother's side. I go back generations, actually, both sides of my family with priests, because I come from a long line of married priests, and, you know, the married priest families, they tended to kind of intermarry. In other words, a son of a priest, if he was going to become a priest himself, he would generally marry a girl who was a daughter of a priest. Not always, but in general. And that's why I have it on both sides of my family. Like, my mother came from a priest family, my father came from a priest family. It was a beautiful thing. You know, they kind of understood the life, and they would meet at these get-togethers with priest families, and then they, you know, some of them ended up marrying each other. So that's why it goes back a long time on both sides of my family.
I would think maybe it's hard for you to put your finger on exactly when you got the call, because it's so inculcated in you through your whole childhood.
Yeah, it's a good question. Whenever people ask me, I said, well, priesthood was never remote from my mind, but I had ability in art. So what I first did was I pursued that, and I pursued that as a career. Towards my last year or two in art school, which was the Cleveland Institute of Art, I began to start feeling the nudge, the call, and I discerned that. Got out of art college for a while and needed just a little more time of discernment, so I actually worked for a while as an artist. And then I made the discernment that I was being called to the priesthood. So I entered the seminary, and I spent some of my seminary years at our seminary in Pittsburgh. But also, then my bishop sent me to Rome. I was a seminary in Rome during the time of St. John Paul II.
Did you ever meet St. John Paul II?
Oh, a number of times.
Wow.
I served liturgy with him privately and so on. Yeah, I met him a number of times. And I was right there at St. Peter Square when he was shot.
Oh, wow. Boy, you've really witnessed some history, both in the Parma Diocese or the Parma Eparchy, as well as right there. Wow. That's fascinating.
I was there when he was shot. I was there when he made his first appearance after his miraculous recovery.
As you went to first to Pittsburgh, what was that like in your initial formation?
The initial formation, it was at our seminary in Pittsburgh. It was our own Byzantine Catholic seminary, which still is there today in Pittsburgh. And then the bishop felt that there was an opportunity to continue my studies in Rome. He sent a couple of us over there. And that was a very, 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 very fruitful time for me as well. So I benefited from both seminary experiences. It helped to form me and give me a lot of the background that I needed to be a priest in Byzantine Rite, but also a lot of experience and background and expansion into my experience of church being in Rome those couple years, you know, and things that benefit me to this day. In one sense, you know, like they say, it's a small world, but in one sense, it's a small church. You know, it's amazing how you can get connected with people throughout the church and all levels of the church. I met many, you know, from the Pope, from Mother Teresa. I met many, many very notable people in Rome and having to do with the church, and was just a very expanding experience for me. Plus, it was also close to my heart because I studied art all my life, and I got to go over to Europe there and see what I only studied in textbooks, you know.
a little different experience, huh?
Yeah, the real thing. You know, instead of looking at a book of the Sistine Chapel, I get to go there all the time.
Well, let's stay right there, Father. We'll pick that up when we come back after this break. Welcome back. I'm Paul Orlowski, the host here on God Calling. Father Thomas Loya, who is from the Cleveland area, joining us. He is now the pastor of Annunciation Byzantine Church in Chicago. And Father, you talked about getting out of the seminary, but when you were there, you got to go to Rome and see the Sistine Chapel and that, and you being an art major, that had to be an unbelievable experience, and one that now I know we'll talk about it, but you brought back here to Solon and now Chicago. What's that like?
Well, just an incredibly expanding experience and broadening experience for anyone, especially for me, who loved both the church, history, and art. It was all there for me, you know, in culture. Europe, especially Rome, it's so ancient. You know, so much antiquity to it. It's still there. So you get a great sense of history, a much broader sense of history, and also of the church. And you meet people from all over the world, so you get the sense of what's happening in the church and their histories, you know, not just our own, you know. And the fact that I've been an artist, you know, I go every day and stand in front of the Michelangelo's Pietà and pray, you know, just admire that, something that I admired all my life, only saw it in books, you know. And then I go to every day to St. Peter's Square, then I was able to hear live St. John Paul II giving his talks, you know, so I stood there live, listened to the Pope, you know, met the Pope a number of times,
wow.
Served with him. So it was a total experience for me because it was all the things that I loved in life, you know, in terms of our faith, the church, the history, the art, you know, the culture. It was just an amazing, amazing experience that has given me so many tools, so much in my priesthood that to offer came from those experiences, but both seminaries, you know, my experience in our Pittsburgh seminary, but also my experience in Europe and Rome.
The Pietà, I've seen many versions of the Pietà, but they brought it to America for the 1964-65 World's Fair in New York.
Yeah.
And I saw the real thing, and there's nothing like it.
No, and he did that. He was 21 years old.
Imagine that.
Yeah, no, it's incredible.
I didn't know that trivia fact, I suppose. Wow, 21 years old.
Yeah, and there's look like a little band going across the very center of the Virgin Mary on that. And what was written on there is Michelangelo Buonarroti did this, because other artists were claiming that they did that Pietà. So he put like a band right on it. He carved it right into the statue.
Oh, you do know this stuff very well. Well, being an art student, you talked about the founding the parish here in Solon, but then you went to the Chicago area, Grove City, is it, Illinois?
I was assigned to the parish in Joliet, Illinois, which
okay.
is in the Chicago area. I was there for about 6 years, and during that time, there was a need for the Byzantine, I'm going to call it the Byzantine Catholic community in this region, which is Chicago, greater Chicago area, which included Joliet. There are a couple of parishes we had which were something like what happened in Cleveland. They were parishes in the old neighborhoods, the original neighborhoods, but many of the people had moved out into the suburbs and so on. And they needed to make a move, you know, to keep up with the migration of our own people and so on. They did that. That's how Cleveland developed. That's what happened in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
All the Cleveland parishes, which are just really prolific in the Cleveland area, all started from about three or four inner city parishes, you know, from the original immigrants. Well, same thing here in Chicago. So they had to make that move. So I ended up bringing all those parishes together, and we relocated. We bought some property. We built a brand new church complex. Here in it's called Homer Glen, which is about 30 miles south of downtown Chicago, and that's where I've been ever since. And it's a parish that's been very blessed. It's growing, and it turned out to be a good move. You know, gave a new lease on life to our parishes here that were in the old neighborhoods.
But you inherited a parish, or the founded parish, with blank walls.
Oh yeah, we built it from the ground up.
What a challenge.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had that experience from Solon when I built the parish in Solon, but this, of course, was a much bigger operation. So I learned a lot when I was back in Cleveland and Solon. And now when I came here, then I oversaw this project, which was a much bigger one. You know, since I built it from the ground up, before it was even finished, it was getting near completion. Naturally, when you build a building, you know, everything's blank and there's no painting on the walls or anything yet. So I started painting the church, even when it was not quite finished, and I continued painting it. Now I have it completed. It's a completely floor-to-ceiling iconography, and now I'm working on the outside of it as well.
That's so important to the Byzantine rite, the iconography.
Oh, yeah, the iconography absolutely is to our liturgy of worship, because it's all integrated. The art, architecture, the gesture, the ritual, the text, the prayer, everything is integrated, ingeniously integrated. Part of the wisdom, the genius of the church, the church is both East and West, but in particular our Byzantine church, with our iconography and architecture, it's very, very integrated. It's almost as if like architecture was made for the icons. That's how integrated it is. You know, like these particular murals go on this particular part of the architecture of the church, you know, and it's essential because the whole point of the liturgy is to give us an experience, like an otherworldly experience. If we're stepping into the heavenly liturgy, when we step into church, especially in the Eucharistic liturgy, we're caught up in a kind of another reality. So since God made us with five senses, you know, we're very kinesthetic beings, we use all five senses to give the worshiper that experience. So we use, obviously, of course, a lot of incense. There's iconography. There's the chant. There's things you taste, touch, smell, hear. So you're entirely engaged. You know, liturgy is an immersion. It's an immersion into the mystical ongoing liturgy in heaven, and that's really what we participate in the Eucharist, in the divine liturgy or the Mass, and that's why we use everything we can in terms of the senses to give the worshiper that experience. And that's why, as you say, the iconography is absolutely essential to our worship.
I read a quote by you that said you'd like the church to feel like a person is entering into heaven on earth.
Exactly. And in fact, that's what happens. People walk in, they don't always expect it, they may have heard about it, and they're just completely awed. They're just like they're really caught up in a whole another reality, because you've got these murals from floor to ceiling. Every square inch is painted with murals and so on, and it's not real common today. And
right.
We get a lot of, it's been a tremendous tool of evangelization for us. We get a lot of visitors. We get tour groups. Our church is open every day, all day. It never closes, except, you know, I lock it up late at night before I go to bed, you know. But it's open first thing in the morning. It's always open. Even if I'm not there, the church is open. It's never locked. We've never locked in 22 years, because I know that there will always be somebody there praying or visiting or touring it.
We're going to take a break, Father, but before we go, you didn't write this, but something that was said about you, they called you the Michelangelo of the Midwest.
Oh.
I know you don't embrace that, but that's a great quote.
Yeah.
Stay with us, Father. We hope our listeners will stay with us as well. This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock. I'm Paul Orlowski. We'll be right back. Thanks for staying tuned. This is Paul Orlowski on God Calling. Father Thomas Loya is joining us. He is the pastor of Annunciation Byzantine Church in Chicago. Father, we've talked about your vocation and your work here in the Cleveland area as well as in Illinois. All things taken into account, there are other areas too that you've gotten involved in. And one of them is the Tabor Life Institute. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yes, Tabor Life Institute is an organization we formed based on the teachings of St. John Paul II's theology of the body, in other words, the teaching on the human person in terms of all questions having to do with love, marriage, sexuality, all the issues, the teachings of the church in that area. We kind of combine it with our Byzantine spirituality, and what we do is we give talks, seminars, counseling, all kinds of things on every aspect and issue you can pretty much imagine that has to do with the human person and all these areas of relationships, love, family, marriage, sexuality, all the hot-button issues. We communicate the church's teaching through this vehicle so that people can see the wisdom and beauty of it. We just started getting, you know, calls and invitations to do that, and so we formed this institute called the Tabor Life Institute. It's independent of the parish. In other words, it's its own 501c3 organization, but it's centered in my parish. You know, as our office, you know, and we have a team of people that we work with. I'm the main presenter for it, but we've contributed articles to magazines. We give talks. We get called upon to give consultation and so on, and. So it just it's become something that's very very timely and relevant ministry today, because obviously there's lots of woundedness, a lot of confusion in these areas that is so much a part of our being human. I mean, it's all about love, you know.
the theology of the body, the high percentage of the population, I believe, got the steps out of order from the standpoint of sexuality.
When I was in Rome, I had the privilege of listening to St. John Paul II's Theology of the Body in person. Actually, Paul, as a point of fact, there's only one other person that I know of, maybe one or two, in the world, who, and this is all by God's grace, it's not a boast, who is a speaker, presenter on the Theology of the Body, but who heard it live from the Pope's own lips every Wednesday in his audiences. Most people who work in the theology body, you know, tremendous presenters, did not hear it live. They read about it after the Pope had already passed on and so on. But I had the blessing of actually hearing it live. So I remember hearing it, and it was inspiring me. And then I came back to the United States, was ordained a priest, and was always interested in that, was always inspired by what I heard from John Paul II. And then as I began to speak on these issues, I began to get more and more calls to do so, that's when we again formed this Tabor Life Institute. So we kind of had a vehicle for which I could make these presentations and so on. In addition to that, of course, the host of Light of the East Radio, which is
right
on the Rock.
Oh yeah, we're going to mention that for sure. That's a Sunday at 11:30 in the morning.
Yeah,
Light of the East, right here on AM 1260, the Rock.
You know, Paul, what it is? It's all doors that our Lord opened for me, and I just stepped through them. I can claim nothing. I can boast of nothing. They're all things that God just kind of opened up to me, and it's like you're walking down the street, and somebody opens a door, and you step through it. When you step through that, he opens another door, and you step through that one. He just goes on and on and on. And the blessings from it just continue to mount. But it's all from God's grace. It's all God's initiative. And I just respond to God's initiative. I can't really claim anything on my own.
Well, you are really good at drawing pictures. That was a great picture, the doors opening. And I think I've been very blessed in the same way, but maybe not always as thankful as I really should be. But yeah, that's a wonderful image. It'll stick with me. Tell me about the Eastern Catholic spirituality, Byzantine spirituality, Father.
The Byzantine spirituality, the Eastern Christian spirituality, is a spirituality that it's the same faith, you know, same belief as the Catholic, part of the Catholic Church. And the church basically developed along two worldviews, two emphases, like an Eastern and Western view. It's just like two different ways. It's kind of like male and female, two different ways of being human, you're man and woman. Well, it's two different ways of arriving at the same point, the same faith. You know, mm-hmm. The Eastern Catholic churches are under the same Pope. But the Eastern spirituality is known for its sense of the mystical, of kind of living in the both and, of where heaven and earth meet, and we sort of experience that and profess that and kind of live in that confluence of the mystical, where something invisible, the visible God, the visible realities have become visible through the physical world, which makes the world and everything sacramental. Our spirituality is very, very sacramental, very mystical, very liturgical. At the same time, it's very monastic. So liturgy, the mystery of liturgy, which is very sacramental, and monasticism, if you put those two together, those are the pillars of Eastern Christian spirituality. And it's similar in the West. It's just a matter of different emphasis. That's mm-hmm. A lot of people want to know, like, what's the difference between the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Catholic Churches. And it's largely a difference of emphasis and style. You know, what part of this reality of God, this mystery of God, are we emphasizing, you know, and how are we expressing that through what means and customs and so on.
Mm-hmm. Father, you sparked an interest in me. Can somebody go online and see the great murals that you've created inside the church? Are there pictures, videos of the inside of your church? Where can they find that?
You can go to our website, ByzantineCatholic.com. Imagine that. We got that as our website.
That was pretty good. You got a .com, huh?
Yeah, I know. And you also see imagery there of our some information on our environmental work that we've done, which is also another thing I've gotten involved in. So, yeah, you'll see some of those pictures and things on our website, ByzantineCatholic.com.
Very easy to remember. Father, thanks for joining us. Father Thomas Loya, we really appreciate your time, and thanks for sharing with us. And
thanks for having me.
I'll be on that website before too long, that's for sure. This is God Calling. Folks, thanks for joining us. We're really happy you're here, and we hope you'll join us each and every week at this time. This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.